Well, I've been ministering since I was 19 years old, and I'm 72 now. So it's been a long time. Now, I'm quite really a very traditional, charismatic, Pentecostal person, believe in the truth of God's word. I'm just kind of a person that asks questions about things that a lot of people will read over something and go, either they understand it or they don't, and then they just move on to the next thing that they probably understand. Mm-hmm. Well, you take the book of Colossians, different things. I ask questions. You know, Lord, you just gave me a word of knowledge about somebody and a word of wisdom and how to deal with their situation. How did you really do that? Was that AM, FM? Was it quantum? How did you really do that? And as I began asking questions over the years, and of course, being in pastoral ministry for nearly 35 years, and then just kind of being a speaker the last 15 or so, supposed to be retired, but he won't let me. So there you go.
Yeah.
I've realized that the Word of God in the English translation loses some of the power, loses some of the oomph. Now, not necessarily in the things that matter, who Jesus is, was, will continue to be, born of a virgin, all the wonderful things, his life, his death, his resurrection, his second coming at some point. None of that changes. But in the everyday, he was expressing in either Hebrew or Aramaic a greater depth of what he was teaching as the one true Son of God and Son of Man at the same time. And I'm sorry, I had this turned down and turned it back up to catch when your email came through, and there my phone was. So, you got to love it. So anyway, I started looking into that, and, people like Chuck Missler going through the book of Daniel and saying, hey, and I think it was Daniel chapter 7, if I recall, he's really talking about UFOs here, mm-hmm. And of course, when I started what I'm doing, because with the Assemblies of God, I was what they called a home missions pastor. You take a church that maybe had been a good one at one time and they've had some issues, and they'd send me in to kind of straighten it up and rebuild it back. So when you go into those kind of environments, you have to have a second income. Of us as his boots on the ground than what traditional Christianity, including a lot of charismatic and Pentecostals, teach.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, no, it's a beautiful start. Because let me just say, by the way, we'll have some people watching the video here and they will see what I'm about to say. And there will be people listening to just the audio. And let me enlighten those just listening to the audio. You said you're 72. You are a great looking 72. Whatever you got going on, I never would have guessed 72. So that's a pretty good testimony right there already. And I'm happy to hear a little bit about your background, because our long-term listeners will already know this. And if somebody's new, this is, you know, some good details for them to know about me. But, you know, I've been a Christian my entire life, was born to a couple of pastors. Indeed, I grew up in the charismatic and Pentecostal tradition. My dad was Assemblies of God, you know, so I'm very familiar with the scene that you came out of there. And at the same time, being where I am now and spending the time kind of in the crowds that I have the past 15 years, I'm also pretty hyper aware of many people's criticisms and suspicions about that particular, Christian tradition, the charismatic, the Pentecostal kind of vibe. A lot of people get a little, you know, think it's a little woo-woo, think it oversteps the bounds a little bit, and I totally, totally respect and understand that. At the same time, you know, I got to spend decades kind of navigating what is a little bit of a Wild West kind of Christian community, the charismatic Pentecostal community. I mean, people will, have seen videos of flagging and dancing and, you know, all the crazy, wacky stuff that people get to, if they're not in it, it can be a little weird coming in contact with it. But I also feel a special calling in my ministry to kind of try to help bring in both directions, right? Even from the outside in and from the inside out, to kind of try to repair people's relationships with other members of the body of Christ, right? With the unity within the body of Christ, obviously being a very one of the most important things we're called to here. And, you know, you make a great point when it comes to the fundamental search for unity with all of within all believers, understanding that, hey, when it comes to the Bible, we all agree that the English version is sufficient for salvation. All the important details that, you know, can feed and guide and support us through accepting Christ, realizing his sacrificial mission to reunite, give us humans a second chance. Looking at the Bible through original languages, through historical context, through all these various different things that people go to college, go to school for a long time to, you know, become scholars and familiarize themselves with all these details. And through all these other non-English ways of looking at the Bible, I mean, just a world opens up. Of, you know, the truly the complexity and the wonderfulness and the subtleties that are in the Bible that describe and open our eyes to the various ways that God works and God is in the universe and what the maybe more mysterious parts of the Bible might be able to tell us. So right off the bat, I feel and I want to build that sort of solid foundation from your intro there that, you know, we're kind of all on the same team here. You know, we're all on the same team and we all want the same things. Now, that being said, you know, we did an episode a couple of years ago. It was CCR. What was the number on that one, Gans? Do you remember?
It was 176, Technology of the Fallen with Hope and Tavon.
Yes, that's right. 176, if anybody's interested. Canary Cry Radio 176, Technology of the Fallen with Hope and Tavon. Now, that being said, even those who might consider themselves, you know, the most fundamental, no-frills kind of Christians, you know, we are coming in contact these days through the sort of revelation of technology, whether that's, you know, God's revelation or just disclosure of different technologies that are work, that are at work around us, whether it's 5G, whether it's, you know, DEWs, direct energy weapons, whether it's the Bluetooth effect on our brains with AirPods, you know, this concept of invisible energies being weaponized against us is a pretty, you know, pretty well known, pretty well accepted in this sort of fringe Christian community. However, there is a line, and I think there's, you know, it's our job here at the weirdest show on the internet to kind of prod and probe, because there is a line that a lot of Christians will feel more uncomfortable getting closer to, which is this sort of topic, and I don't want to speak for you and your work. I want you to speak for you and your work. But once we start going from like 5G weaponized energy kind of stuff, and we start inching toward the topic of things like energy healing or crystals or something like that, right? And everybody will have a different way to describe that line. So and I think now more than any other time in history, you know, this is a very interesting time for Christians to start reckoning with where exactly is that line and what does it mean? And you seem like the perfect guy to talk to here. I guess I don't have a specific question, but does that inspire anything for you? Do you kind of realize?
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, first please. Of all, I mean, you know, I like to mess with people. You know, I was born in Lake Charles, Louisiana, but I was raised in the Midwest. And of course, sarcasm is kind of like our middle name there. And because we like to just tease people, you know, mercilessly. But let's start with some of the very basics. The computer that I'm using here uses crystals.
Mm-hmm, right.
Your iPhone and your Android phone uses crystals. We wear jewelry that have crystals. Ladies with diamonds and stuff are crystals, okay? Right. The gates of heaven are gemstones. Mm-hmm. The streets are gold. There's all kinds of adornments everywhere. So this is not new stuff. Yeah. Are we going... The thing that I... In my overall teaching, and this is... And I'm not really trying to plug my book, though it's a shameless plug at the same time. But I have five and a sixth one's coming out, Moving Towards Sonship. Actually, the Holy Spirit gave me this in multiple downloads. And the reason that I wrote it is because there's a lot of things going on, just as you're saying, around us, that if we're operating out of our soul and cannot discern between what comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, basically speaking, then we just shut it off. Mm-hmm. It's easier just to say, oh, that's New Age. You know, one of the first things I ask people when they accuse me or question the fact that I have gemstones that I'll put out frequencies in medallion form, I say, are you a New Age expert? 9 out of 10, they're not. They're just afraid. But I can also test from their voice, and I'm not going to show people how I do it, but I can stand right in front of somebody and say, okay, well, you're operating 65% out of your soul in the question that you just asked me. How about you bring your spirit forward, let your spirit settle in, because we are spirit beings that have a soul in a physical body in 3D planet Earth. So let your spirit speak to you. And well, most of the time, you know, they're hyperventilating by that time already, okay? Mm-hmm. But in reality, when we talk about God's Word, as you so acutely said, everything that we need is there, but what if parts of it were dumbed down so that we wouldn't be as efficient in our boots on the ground role?
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, now, are we so naive to think that on planet Earth, we're the only ones that have technology, or that we're the only beings anywhere. Mm. But there's approved beings and unapproved beings. With the exception of angels, good and fallen, any beings in the cosmos, in the greater cosmos, that didn't go into the great rebellion, they can't contact us. So, in fact, would you mind if I read the introduction to about a page of a conference I'm going to be speaking at soon?
Sure, sure.
Go ahead.
Because it's kind of sarcastic, so that's why I love it.
You know, real quick, but before you do that, I want to make a comment before it gets too far, because I think it's actually really essential. And for someone who might be out there and you're hearing me talk and you're kind of thinking, oh, well, Basil's just trying to find ways to talk about crazy stuff. I will say, you know, at my core, the sort of practical part of me is as skeptical as anyone else out there. But you make a great point. You know, we're all aware of 5G. We're all aware of, you know, the technological frequency uses. You say crystals are an essential part of the technology. Like, we all accept the frequency warfare. And you mentioned that crystals are a part of that. I had not really thought about it that way. But when it comes to silicon, when it comes to lasers, when it comes to pretty much everything that we all accept is like part of this frequency warfare, you're right. It's all crystals. You know, silicon is just arranged quartz crystals. Lasers are all given their power and their whatever through crystals. So, like, the scientists are using crystals every day, you know, in this. The engineers, the tech frequency warfare is all surrounded. If it weren't for crystals, none of it would work. So, you know, that's an interesting, I guess, baseline to start when it comes to the other side of it.
Here's the thing about all of that is that we were put here to do something. Mm-hmm. We're here on assignment. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the greater picture that I teach and that's in my books, and that's why I held the book up. And if we're here on assignment and we're supposed to basically be in authority, do we let those who have chosen the dark side take the materials that we were put here to be able to be in charge of, or do we take control of them?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So fill in the blank. You know, why do witches and warlocks need crystals? Because they don't have any innate power within themselves. They lack the Holy Spirit, so they have to use crystals to project their different things that they do. That's not why Christians use crystals. Christians use crystals to clarify the field that they walk in so that they can hear God's voice better. And if you don't think
the mechanics of nature, like the context is like, this is God's creation, this is how God created things. And, you know, it's not that the crystals have some sort of, well, again, you can tell me, but coming from my perspective, it's not that the crystals have some sort of magical power. It's just that they're a part of the kind of mechanics of creation.
Well, I mean, if you want me to stir up a lot of trouble, does the gun kill somebody, or does the shooter kill by using the gun?
Right, right, precisely.
Okay, so we have a choice on how we want to use anything. We have a choice whether we want to show love and kindness or be mean to somebody. There's always a choice in how things can be used. It's just that it takes too much trouble for people to look into things and say, oh, wait a minute, God put this here for us, but we've let them control that whole narrative. Why? Right. Yeah. You know, have you ever had an EKG and they put all those little pads, and when you get home, you still find 15 of them on you? You know, okay, what are they measuring? Electromagnetic field of the heart. How far out does that go? 2 to 4 to 6 feet. Well, when you wear some of the medallions that I make, it goes out to 29 and a half feet. Why 29 and a half feet? Because in order to engage quantum, which I personally believe, it has a mechanical side and a supernatural spiritual side, which is the expression of God's presence and how he holds everything together. We can't even engage transferring things from heaven to earth if our own energy field doesn't approach 30 feet. So have fun with it. See what I'm saying? But is it all right if I read this, though?
Yeah, please, please.
Okay. The greatest questions of life. Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Who am I? Answer, you are a human being with a spirit, soul, and body who was sent to earth to do your part in restoring heavenly order upon the earth. Problem. Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, sold us out to a very diabolical alternative system. And believe me, it exists. Further problem, that action has caused each of us to have amnesia, lose our incredible relationship and authority with and from our Creator, and lose our original created order and abilities. So we lost our memory, our skill set, and the reason that we're here to do something. And then I have in, you know, quotes, oh, fun. Add to that the possibility that the near area of the cosmos that surrounds us is under quarantine, as is Earth, meaning created beings who did not take part in the Great Rebellion cannot contact us because they're not allowed to go into a quarantined area except angels. So what are we left with? Fallen angels, spirits of dead Nephilim, lingering human spirits, and others like elementals who hate our guts because we haven't done our job, meaning the elementals. Are we having fun yet? Now, I firmly believe that Adam and Eve were put in Eden as a safety zone, a base of operations to carry out heaven's plan for restoring the quarantine zone, except they disqualified all of us. Thankfully, God had a plan. He sent his son to buy us back and therefore to restore us to assignment. This time, however, our skill set would only be given and restored via relationship. Okay, so there's your whole umbrella that you need to cover everything that I do. And by the way, I'm not the only one. When I first started, I might have been one of the only ones. I mean, because I do muscle testing.
Right.
You can imagine 35, 40 years ago when I started doing muscle testing and finding things, nutritional needs and things like that, that what people thought. Well, it's not that way anymore. But you see, this is why we're here. Fellas, it's never made sense to me. You know the thing that we always hear in church? God was lonely, so he made a family, and then he sent us to earth, and then we blew it, and now the whole thing is just to bring us back home. No, he wasn't lonely. And it looks like as spirit beings, some of us may have existed not as other beings, but as spirit beings, as humanoid spirit beings, even before we came here. But we only get one shot at it. No such thing as reincarnation, okay? I hate to hurt people's feelings out there, but... while we're here, we're his boots on the ground. Well, if that's the case, have I been equipped for success once I'm restored by being born of water and spirit from above? Christ in me, the hope of glory, he actually sets up his presence within me. So does the Holy Spirit. Have I been surrounded by things to be successful this whole time and didn't even know I was? And if that's the case, what am I supposed to do? Well, what are those greater things? We have not been doing a good job. And part of the reason is because we've allowed religion that can even be Pentecostal and charismatic, people operating out of their souls, putting up a wall to not just the true supernatural, but all of the technology that surrounds us just because it doesn't look right in 3D Earth atmosphere. That's where I'm coming from. So if you think waving flags and dancing a little bit in church is freaking some people out, you ought to spend a day with me.
No, I think that's a great point. And yet, you know, look, I am not here or anywhere for that matter to be some sort of apologist for, you know, the charismatic or Pentecostal culture. Of course, a lot of news coming out of that space recently has a lot of people really funkified. And, you know, one misconception, though, when I do hear criticisms of that particular Christian tradition, one misunderstanding that I often see, and again, I'll say, coming from that tradition, I will be the first to tell you that there's a lot of monkey business. There's a lot of funny business. The imperfection and the fallen nature of humans has a lot of people in that space, you know, acting in ways that they shouldn't. But, however, one of the misconceptions, at least in the tradition that I grew up in, was that spiritual gifts, right? This idea of spiritual gifts, this idea that we are still spiritual beings and God, you know, has given us access to certain spiritual gifts. And one of the misconceptions that I see from the outside looking in is that these spiritual gifts are specifically only given to, you know, particular superheroes or like the prophets or like the prophet culture in what people call NAR, you know, it makes it look like these prophets or prophetesses are somehow special and God has chosen them to be, you know, this kind of superhero on earth. Whereas my experience from the inside out of understanding that culture is that, no, these are all things that everybody has access to. Everybody, you know, God has made available spiritual gifts, whether, you know, it's just whether it's prophecy, whether it's teaching, whether it's, you know, these types of things. It's everybody's domain to operate them in. And it's just some people do, some people don't, some people have a harder time with one versus the other, that kind of thing. So I kind of hear that coming from you as well, is it's not that Dr. Rodich is some sort of, you know, Superman sent with the powers of crystals or whatever, but that this is kind of a part of the spiritual mechanics that God has built into reality, and that we as believers, as spiritual beings, we have sufficiently been convinced that, that things like crystals or energy, yes, the bad guys with their technology can use it all the time, but for a human who is not an engineer to have any interest in these things is sort of particularly fallen in some way. And again, certainly there's a line in there somewhere, and crossing that line can often be, you know, easier than people would like it to be. But again, you know, coming from my side of things, as always, there's a subtlety and a complexity to how God set up the created universe. And I think it's okay for us to really probe around and find where that is.
Well, you know, you said so many things. And of course, you know, I mean, the first thing that comes around is look, okay, are we so naive to think in this day and age that the powers that be on the dark side aren't smart enough to have a training camp for TV evangelists and people that look like prophets and say the same things that we say, but people being kind of maybe a little bit dull at times think that they're the, you know, greatest thing since sliced bread. Mm-hmm. And in reality, they're just in implants from the enemy's camp. And then there's those who start out with a genuine hunger and thirst for the things of God, but because of improper training, they operate most of the time out of their soul. Well, guess what? Out of the soul, I know chiropractors that can read your mail better than most prophets. I can't recall the name of the technique, but they can say, well, you know, at age 7, I see you on a swing and you fell out and that's why your head's all messed up and we need to adjust you a certain way. It's in their energy field. Mm. How can I, when I do my testing, find out? I had a lady from Washington, D.C. area about 6-7 months ago, I think it was, and in one of the spiritual testing side sheets that I do, we look for hidden nuptials, which is like marriage agreements with different categories, and one is fraternal orders, like Freemasonry and things like that, which, by the way, they're everywhere. They're even in the churches. They shouldn't be, but they are. it's not Christianity, it's Luciferianism, okay? So I said to her, I said, well, about three generations back, it looks like it's on your mom's side, there was a Freemason, and that is where, and I was able to tell her of the 33 levels of Freemasonry, which ones she still need to do deliverance prayers for. And she said, listen, I don't know anybody that far back, but my brother is the family archivist. And about 10 days later, I get an email stating, you're not going to believe this, Dr. Rodich, but three generations back, our great-great-grandfather, whatever he was, three generations back, none of us knew him. Probably our parents did, but he died when he was 45 years old, and the only picture that we have of him is dressed as a Freemason. Now, how in the heck would I know that?
Right.
I get the right side of the family. I get the correct job. Does love have a frequency? Of course it does.
Yeah.
Why are children? I mean, kids just run up to me all the time. I guess I'm everybody's grandpa, right?
Yeah.
Or great grandpa now. But anyway, and dogs that like would tear somebody's leg off come up to me and just, you know, want to jump on me and lick my face and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because I carry a different energy than a lot of people. Some people fear. Fear has a distinct frequency. Anxiety has a frequency. And having said that, be aware that the powers that be around us are hammering our autonomic and central nervous systems on every conceivable platform that they can, because it is those two that when we lay hands on people, that the spirit and the power of God moves through us to impart whatever God has for them from heaven. There's a mechanical side to everything, but I will say this, in my book, Unlocking the Quantum Kingdom, which is kind of the foundational book for all four that I wrote on quantum, I do state that the New Agers, those operating in the soul, those that, you know, manifest things and all that kind of stuff, there is a mechanical side to that, but they only operate in 1% of quantum.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's supposed to operate in 100% of quantum? Again, what is quantum? God holds everything together by his word. Well, the physical manifestation is what scientists are calling quantum. It operates outside of space and time. And if we're his boots on the ground, we're supposed to be looking at the possibilities in the field, narrow them down to the task at hand, and cause them to be imparted and come into being now. Otherwise, we're just here to get our ticket back home where we came from in the first place. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I love what you ended that with. Go ahead, Gons. But yes, the idea that Christianity, the whole idea of Christianity is just to get your ticket back home has always been, it just doesn't seem like enough. Sorry, go ahead, Gons.
No, it's all right. So I know that in the introduction, we mentioned the word energy medicine, or the phrase, and also energy-based practices, and that will trigger a portion of our audience will be like, wait a minute, is this New Age? And you guys have been, you know, discussing this the whole time here. But I do want to point out something that I think is, it's important to remember, right? And you started this conversation talking about how the English language limits our understanding sometimes of scripture. And there is a word in, especially in the New Testament in Greek, it's very familiar, Strong's 1753, energeia. It's energy, operation, strong, working. And there are several passages like Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. That powerful working is energeia or energeia. It's the word for energy. Another one is Ephesians 1:19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? Again, same word, energeia. So it's in the scriptures. It's just, I think the modern contemporary sort of linguistic stronghold that people are in when they hear the word energy, it's automatically new age and it's woo woo and all this stuff. No, it's in your scriptures. You know, God is being described, or his power anyway, is being described by the same word. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped when each part is working properly. Interestingly enough, the word energy, energeia, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And there's Revelation 4, to your point about, you know, medallions and stuff. In many places in the Bible, God is described, particularly in Revelation 4, verse 3, the one seated there on the throne looked like jasper, carnelian, gleamed like an emerald. So there's all these descriptions of God himself visually that have references to stones and, physical items. But I also think it's really interesting that not only is, to your point, Dr. Rodich, that in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the counterfeit signs and wonders that Satan brings is also operative with that same word, with the activity or that energeia or the energies. And so it's the same methodology. It's sort of the same mechanics, if you will. And I also find very fascinating that depending on your Bible, whether it might be Revelation 12:17 or some translations have it as Revelation 13:1, but the dragon, so chapter 13 in Revelation is where I've spent a lot of time. It's the beast chapter. It describes the two beasts, the first beast and the second beast and the mark of the beast and the image of the beast and the whole gamut. The passage that initiates that whole part, that whole section, says that the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. And talking about sand. And I just heard Mark Andreessen, who's one of these tech guys from Silicon Valley, talking about AI. And he said, we're basically teaching sand to think. And I thought to myself, my goodness, this is straight out of Revelation to suggest they're, you know, we're bringing sand alive in a sense. Anyway, any thoughts on some of these aspects? I'm sure you've talked about some of these scriptures.
Well, just for everybody's understanding, you know, should we go back in time and tell the high priest to take the breastplate off?
Right.
Yeah. 12 stones. Yeah. Okay. And the Umim and Thumim, whatever they were, to get a yes or no.
Right.
Why was he using crystals? Wasn't he a man of God? Couldn't God have just spoken to him? You see, technology, in fact, you read the book of Enoch, the book of Jasher, a lot of different things. There's even an indication that, you know, we were made from the dust of the earth, and some people think it was gold at that time because it was before the fall, but whatever it was, if it was mud, fine, God did what he did. But some people think angels are actually, God started with a gemstone for each angel. Okay, I can't verify that. I didn't see it happen, but there's interesting things to think about. So when you've got all this stuff that is going on around us, we have to realize that Satan doesn't create really anything. He may assemble things, but he still has to operate within the greater format of how things were created from scratch. You know, I no longer remember the words, but in Genesis chapter 1, when God is creating, it starts out where he's speaking things from nothing, but then around verse 26 or 7 or somewhere in there, it transitions over to where he's speaking to things that are already created, like a substance that he's forming, and then he's creating other things. Well, if we're his boots on the ground, do we have a mini co-creator aspect at times to be able to draw the possibilities and speak to that substance and have it actually show up on planet Earth? Because it does say in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's his will? Why were we put here? I never hardly hear any preachers addressing that anymore to get people saved. No. That's just part of why we're here. That's to remind us who we are, and you have to be qualified through the blood of Jesus and everything that he did. Then you're back to your assignment. Mm. Every one of us has a lane, a different assignment, but we all draw from the pool of resources, and then we narrow them down to what our lane dictates, okay? We have a scroll that we come here with, all over the book of Psalms. Who knows about their scroll? Why aren't we looking at that and saying, okay, what do I need to be able to do, whatever it's on? And I'm not talking, brothers, about performance. I'm talking about completing a job.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Go to Home Depot. Go to Lowe's. Get the stuff off the shelves. Okay, here's the blueprint that heaven gave me. Well, in order to do that, you've got to be able to see what heaven is giving in blueprints. I've actually been in the spirit to the library in heaven, and I wrote down everything that I saw, and then I read a book later, and the guy's describing the same place.
Mm.
Now, I'm more of a knower than a seer, but when I see things, I see them in living color. Is it a vision? No, I see it inside, but I don't have my imagination running around after lust and porn and all this crazy stuff and being frustrated. My imagination is the viewing screen for what comes through my personal spirit to be made knowledgeable to my the mind of my soul and my natural mind so that I can function as God's boots on the ground. That's how it works.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. So, one of the names you mentioned in your bio that I repeated in the introduction was Watchman Nee, and I'm fairly familiar with his work, and I know he was in prison. I think he was imprisoned in China, in communist China, where he passed away. But he wrote a lot about some of the latent abilities of man that the fall sort of clouded or prevented us or stopped us maybe. From having some certain abilities that you might call psychic or you know, whatever sort of new agey term that might exist to describe it. Can you talk about some of that and where you stand on some of those ideas?
Okay, so again, we have to separate the abilities that Adam had versus what happened after the fall, okay?
Right.
And honestly, it's speculation, but he was clothed in light. What did he even have flesh the way that we have flesh? He probably could think and be simultaneously, if you talk about quantum entanglement, he was quantumly entangled with God every moment of the day. So when God comes down after the fall and looks around and says, hey, Adam, where are you hiding out? You know why? Because God knew the entanglement had been broken. That channel, okay? Well, If I recall, and I love all of the Latent Power of the Soul, his one book was one of my most favorite books I've ever read. What he's basically saying, and he's 100% true, is you can't clean up what can't be cleaned up. You know, I like watching Gutfeld once in a while, and I don't know if you watch him on The Five, but he's got that mug that looks like a big pile of doo-doo. Well, you can't clean doo-doo up. And it doesn't need to be, because when we're born from above of water and of spirit, which is what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about, we are entering into a second Adam, a whole different blueprint. But what we've really been dumbed down to is how far we can get to actualize the blueprint of Jesus Christ within us, so that when I'm out in the world and people see this mug, they really need to see Jesus. I can even measure in my clients, if they take the spiritual test, how much the presence of Christ is literally the image of Christ in them is coming out through them. You say, well, why is that? Well, what about when the apostles walked and their shadow was cast on somebody and they were healed? Was that energy? See, if we don't know, we love to say it's supernatural. Well, of course it was. But the supernatural meets the natural here on earth. And right. We're here to be a conduit, so to speak, so that it fully manifests. What would earth look like if we had taken our sonship responsibility seriously? Would all this nonsense that goes on even be happening? Very little of it, because we've accepted it. You know, like I have a lot of dear Baptist friends, and some of them, I mean, they're on just a lot of the stuff that I do better than I am even. But then there's a lot of them that it's like, oh, no, I can't go there. I can't go there. Well, then stay in your soul. You got your ticket. Just stay in your soul and be as good as you can be. But some of us want to literally fulfill what Jesus sent us here to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel that it's almost more important in these days to actually actively understand what, you know, Basil has been calling the spiritual mechanics. I think that's a great phrase for it, because of the counterfeit mechanics that are out there. I mean, we just heard Elon Musk last week say that his Neuralink is Jesus-like technology, and it's going to give God-like power to humans, and it's going to heal and do all these things. And I mean, on the surface, it's like, hey, great, you're helping people that are maybe paraplegic or have some ailments or whatever. But ultimately, what are we doing if we're sticking a microchip in our brain? You know, it feels like it's the ultimate counterfeit.
Okay, it could be used righteously. Let's be honest about it. Mm-hmm. But we know that most of the things that exist that come from the powers that be are so they can make money.
Yeah.
Now, we all need money. We need to be able to buy eggs and bread and milk and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Go to the doctor, whatever. But it's all about money to them, and they have given themselves to the dark side, okay? Just look at everything that God has. Let's talk a minute. Let's have a little crazy fun. Let's talk a minute about the beings that didn't go along with the enemy's camp in the Great Rebellion. Some of them are going to look humanoid. Some could be dragons. Some could look like fairies, I don't know, on some planet somewhere. Whatever God decided, some of them could look like dinosaurs. It doesn't matter. They probably all talk in some way, telepathically, whatever. Okay. Wherever they're at, they're not allowed to come into the quarantine zone. So everything that they have out there is technology that Father allows them to have. So if they're allowed to go from planet to planet, do they have crafts that they can do that with? Probably. Okay, so then you got the dark side. They were part of that group at one time before they fell. Did they lose all their technology? Probably not. So, you know, what is the narrative that we're going to have when Jesus Sananda shows up right next, you know, chummy-chummy with Buddha in a holographic image in the sky with all the flying saucers?
Right.
Is everybody going to bail? Not the God bail out.
Yeah, bail out.
Right.
You know, and you see, so why aren't we bigger than that technology?
Yeah.
I heard a testimony just last night by a guy that had an NDE, and the Lord took him 200 years in the future. And he was, I can't remember his name now, but I was half asleep when I heard it. But one thing he did say is he said he was shocked because things were a little bit more simpler on Earth. He thought they would be way more technological, although there was technology. He said, but here was the big difference. When somebody got sick, when somebody didn't feel right, the body of Christ came around them and prayed them back to 100% wellness. Mm-hmm. There was power that he could sense that was like, whoa, is this what we should have been doing all along? And then he said something kind of odd. He said, and they had these devices on them. Okay?
Mm. You're showing up medallion for those just listening.
Yeah. It's like, okay. Now, I got to tell you, can I tell you the story real quick about why I even make medallions?
Please.
Okay. About 2 years ago, my wife started having 3 AFib attacks a week. No matter the nutrition I gave her, whatever, probably had heavy metals in the tissues of the heart, but it had gotten horrible. And I said, you know, something's got to be going on with these EMFs. So I bought an EMF meter, and in the chair she sits in to watch TV in the living room, 40 is the max, and she was 210.
Wow.
So I said, Lord, I've been very mechanical. I've done woodworking, you know, changed alternators, drive shafts in cars, all kinds of stuff. I ought to be... I'm standing at my workbench just a couple of weeks in, and I hear the Holy Spirit is real as I'm talking to you. And I can tell the difference in the voice between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They have similar but different voices, you just know. And Holy Spirit says to me, what would happen if you put gemstones in those? Now remember, I'm raised in the Midwest, so I'm kind of a sarcastic character, right? So I said, I don't know, but I sure hope you're going to tell me. And he did. He said, if you will... listen to me, I will give you the formulas, and you put one of this kind, one of that kind, and some of it's jasper, some of it's carnelian, some of it's ruby, some of it's emerald, but they have a specific formula, and then they have different things, and then I put them in these medallions, and they create a frequency that expands our energy field out so that we can actually interface with the interactive grid that God has put around us, that is called the quantum field by scientists. But in the Bible, we could call it from the Bible, the field of his presence and how he holds all creation together in his power and by his word. We are in the second Adam equipped to engage. So that's how I started making medallions. And now I've got one of the little ephod medallions, and when people want answers, they put it on, but it doesn't do anything. You have to do it. You have to set your heart into the presence of the Lord, but that changes the frequency so that what it really does is that when we hear back, the static isn't there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It's like an iPhone, right? It's there, but it's up to you what you're typing up and looking up on the internet kind of thing. Is that sort of... Right. Yeah. Okay.
If I may, just process out loud a little bit with my own sort of reckoning of a lot of this. And, you know, some of the things you just brought up are super important. I mean, we talk about the great deception theology. You know, this has been a topic we've talked about forever. If you're going to talk about UFOs, if you're going to talk about blue beam, if, you know, you're going to talk about biblical prophecy, the great deception is a huge topic for sort of the fringy people, you know, how the adversary will put on sort of a play, whether it's blue beam with aliens, with the return of Christ, this whole thing, right? And, you know, going to the fact that the adversary, his specialty is counterfeiting, right? He can't create anything. He can only counterfeit stuff. And the great deception is going to be kind of the ultimate counterfeit, right? That even if it were possible, some of the elect would be deceived. And, you know, because the known skills of the adversary to counterfeit things so well, I think a lot of people, and I think this might be actually a good safe choice for a lot of people for a lot of the time, is to assume when something is funky, it's kind of just the safest choice if you're unsure or if you're unable to, you know, discern. The safest choice is to consider something a counterfeit, right? And I think the devil knows this, and he's very good at it. You know, one example is if things like crystals are something that Christians, you know, could participate in or use for God's purposes or whatever, however language we want to use that, it is such an effective counterfeit, such an effective branding. Like, you know, the devil's really good at branding. I think we see that reflected around us a lot. And crystals themselves have been so thoroughly and effectively branded as New Age. You know, even if a Christian, for whatever reason, needed to get their hands on a crystal, you know, most of the time they're going to have to go into a crystal store that's covered in, like, also selling tarot cards and, like, spell books. And, like, you know, it's very funky in these crystal stores. And so the branding of crystals, thanks to, you know, the devil's mastery at branding and counterfeit, you know, you can't even go buy a crystal without being in this funky place with all this occult stuff. And, you know, it's much safer to just say, you know, I'm not even going to go into that store, right? And the same with the imagination. You know, God gave us an imagination. Our imagination is part of, it's sort of a reflection of us being the image of God. Our imagination's very special. And again, part of the sort of spiritual mechanics of the supernatural is our imagination's a big part of that. We're kind of the only creatures on earth that has this gift of the imagination. And again, at the same time, a lot of people can say, you know what, it's just safer if I don't rely on my imagination, because my imagination can be corrupted, can be messed with, depending on sin, right? Depending on the sin in my life, depending on the things I open myself up to. You know, a lot of people get into a lot of trouble with their imagination. And this, again, is masterful branding of the adversary to say, hey, don't rely on your imagination. Don't pay attention to it. You know, it's corrupt, it's occult, it's something like that. And then when it comes to the great deception, again, you know, we've talked about a lot lately, by the way, this has come up, because we now have, like, the mainstream media, Daily Mail, is doing stories on the great deception theology. You know, with all the UFO disclosures, with all this, you know, biblical prophecy and the great deception is in the mainstream. Like, millions of normies are now being introduced to great deception theology, which of course has me going, like, oh gosh, what's the adversary up to? Like, what kind of operation is at play that maybe, even if it were possible, some of the elect would be deceived? And we've talked about recently, once, you know, we've been doing this show for almost 15 years now, and we've seen it a million times. I'm pretty confident that this is just part of the journey for people. You start going down the rabbit holes, you start learning about fringy stuff, conspiracy theories, ancient technology, you know, you go far enough down this road, and you will always, 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 every single person will come to a fork in the road eventually. And it may be different for everybody, but there is no avoiding this fork in the road. And again, if we're being sensitive and we're being careful about the deception, the counterfeiting that the adversary is so good at, I think, you know, this might be part of the plan. You will always come to a fork in the road where you either swoop to the left and you go, okay, New Age, that explains this all. You know, the aliens, the technology, the New Age stuff. I am some sort of God, or I can be some sort of God, and the aliens are my brothers, and, you know, whatever version of that. Or it's Christ, right? Or it's, oh, the Bible has all the answers. Oh, salvation in Christ is the only way. Christ is the inoculation against the great deception. And almost inevitably, you can't make it very far in this kind of exploration without having to choose New Age or without having to choose Christ, right? And thankfully, you know, we hear stories all the time of people saying, you know what, I got far enough down and figured out, maybe they even were in the New Age for a long time and they finally said, oh, actually, Christ is the answer to all this. Okay, wonderful. Let's go this way. But because of the sort of critical mass we're hitting with millions upon millions of people kind of going down this journey now, the mainstream reporting on UFOs, the government disclosure, the this, the that, we have just an enormous amount of people coming to that fork in the road, right? And maybe to some degree, if someone hasn't been with Christ for very long, maybe there's a way in which they're not as careful, right? Maybe they're not